come now to Psalm 118 in our series of messages on Christ and the Psalms. The Lord referred to verse 22 of this psalm in reference to himself, and the Apostle Peter made reference to the same verse in connection with Christ in his first epistle. We will consider these passages later. Thus we know this is a messianic psalm. Psalm 118 concludes the series of Hallel psalms, or praise, of Numbers 113 through 118. They were used by the Jews in celebrating the Feast of the Passover. Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the meal, and Psalms 115 through 118 after the Passover meal. Matthew 26:30 tells us that after the Lord and his disciples had eaten the Passover, they sung a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. That hymn undoubtedly consisted of Psalms 115 through 118, according to Jewish usage. It is believed that this psalm was composed at the completion and consecration of the Second Temple in the sixth year of the reign of Darius. See Ezra chapter 6, verses 15 to 18, and used at the laying of the cornerstone. The opening verses of our psalm correspond beautifully to the record of Ezra, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord. They sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Ezra 3, verses 10 to 11. In this Psalm 118, the future converted remnant of Israel is prophetically seen as welcoming Jesus Christ back in the character of the headstone of the corner, which verse 22 speaks of. This verse says, "The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner." This is the outstanding verse of our psalm. It and the next verse refers definitely to Christ, as he quoted it to the chief priests and elders who rejected him as the Messiah. Jesus said unto them, "Did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. There's a legend that in the building of the temple, a certain shaped stone without any marks of identification upon it was sent up from the quarry. The builders did not know where to place it, so finally it was cast aside and forgotten. But when they came to look for the top stone for the building, they could not find any stone to fit into that place. At last someone remembered the stone which they had rejected. It was hunted up and brought forth from the heap of rubbish and found to fit perfectly into the space for the cornerstone. Thus the rejected stone was made the head of the corner, as the psalmist had written. Peter brought this fact strongly home to the high priest, the rulers, elders, and scribes at Jerusalem, as recorded in Acts 4, verses 5 to 12. He told them, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And then he added, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved." How plain and simple all this is as to Christ. Years later, the Apostle Peter wrote to the scattered believers about this wonderful living stone, Jesus Christ. He said, "To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed, is rejected, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Then he further quoted from Isaiah 28:16, saying, "It is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 6, 7 and 8. Peter thus makes application presently of the figure of Christ as the living cornerstone. To those who have accepted him as the foundation stone and the headstone of God's salvation and believe on him in their heart, he is precious and their security forever. He also says that such believers in Christ as are living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. But to those who are disobedient and refuse to accept Jesus Christ as God's only Savior, this precious one becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To the Gentile world powers that reject Christ, he will be a smiting stone, as Daniel 2:34 prophesies. And to individual believers, the Lord said, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Matthew 21, verse 44. Dear friend, is Jesus Christ a precious cornerstone to you, or do you stumble over him in disobedience and will meet him one day as a crushing stone of judgment? Returning to Psalm 118, we note verses 19, 20, and 21. "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." These verses precede the wonderful 22nd verse about the Lord as the head cornerstone. The gate of righteousness is asked to be opened and is owned as the gate of Jehovah into which the righteous enter and praise him as he becomes their salvation. The rejected Messiah is now owned as the gate by which the righteous can enter. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 10, verse 9, and chapter 14, verse 6. Millions of sinners of the Gentiles have come to God through Jesus Christ, the door, the gate of righteousness, and the way, and have been saved. In the coming day, repentant, believing Israel must come to a holy God by the same gate. They will own Jesus Christ as God's gate of salvation and praise him. It is only by this precious Savior that one can be made righteous, as Romans 3 verses 21 to 26 tell us. Dear listener, have you entered in by the gate of the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? If not, do so now. Verse 26 is an important verse as a prophetic utterance of a coming godly remnant of Israel relative to Christ. They say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Jehovah. We have blessed you out of the house of Jehovah." You may remember that in Matthew 23, when the Lord Jesus had to severely upbraid the scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy and rejection of him, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Verses 38 to 39 and chapter 24, verse 1. Thus Psalm 118, verse 26, points to this wonderful time when a people of Israel will own God's true Messiah, Jesus Christ, as coming in the name of Jehovah God. The Antichrist will come in his own name, as the Lord indicated when he said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive." John 5, verse 43. The godly in Israel will refuse this false Christ and will wait for God's true Messiah. Then verses 27 and 28 say, "God is Jehovah, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee." God is owned as having shown them the light as to Jesus Christ, and they look back to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God at Calvary's cross and praise and exalt Him. Wondrous day of salvation. Now, dear friends, as we come to the end of Psalm 118 and close our series of meditations on this wonderful subject of Christ in the Psalms, let us briefly look back over the 20 Psalms we have rapidly surveyed in our studies the past 2 months. In Psalm 1, we saw the Lord Jesus in His personal holiness, uprightness, devotedness, and separation from evil. In Psalm 2, He is seen as God's anointed King and upon Mount Zion, and the kings of the earth against Him. Psalm 8 presents Him in His kingdom reign when all creation shall be put under His feet in subjection. Then in Psalm 16, we see Jesus as the lowly dependent man in His pathway of obedience to the cross and resurrection. Psalm 17 gives us the Lord as the righteous one, proved and tried by Satan, but dependent upon God with a purpose not to transgress. In Psalm 18, we have the Messiah's praise for deliverance and resurrection from all His enemies and the sorrows of death. Then Psalm 21 speaks of the ascension of Jesus Christ to heaven and His being crowned with honor, majesty, and highest glory. Psalm 22 sets forth a most complete prophecy of the sufferings of Christ at the cross and the glories that follow. Then Psalm 23 presents a picture of the Lord Jesus as He fully trusted in Jehovah God for all, Jehovah God as His shepherd for all the trials and needs of the pathway through the valley of the shadow of death to the Father's house. In Psalm 24, He is seen as the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, whom the gates and everlasting doors are to let in. Psalm 40 tells us of the one who came to earth in flesh to do the will of God and offer Himself as a sacrifice for sin. Then in Psalm 45, we have Jesus, the Son of Man, as the warrior king in His moral perfections and kingdom reign. In Psalm 69, we have Christ suffering as the trespass offering and as the lonely Savior who found none to pity or comfort. Then Psalm 72 presents to us the wonderful kingdom of Christ that will endure forever when He shall judge the people with righteousness and the poor with judgment. Psalm 88, we see Jesus as the one who has borne all the waves of God's wrath against sin